And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are in the midst of the summer outdoor season. It is an exciting time in the Motherlode, also a time when law enforcement officials can be busy because of the increased fire risk, search and rescue incidents, and waterway accidents. We're joined this weekend by Sheriff Bill Pooley from Tuolumne County, as well as Sergeant James Oliver. Sergeant Oliver, I'll pick up the conversation where we left off talking about boating safety and the boat patrol that Tuolumne County has. Can you explain a little bit about its operations and what it all does?
Yes, sir. So there are seven lakes in Tuolumne County. However, the boating unit, we primarily focus on probably four of them. Those being Don Pedro, Maloney's, Tulloch, and Pinecrest. The other lakes are more in the upper country, Beardsley and Cherry Lake. And then, so again, just because of the population that comes into our county and is doing the recreation on the lakes, the bigger lakes tend to draw more people, and that's where we focus. Our duties while we're out there are to patrol around and to remind people about the life jackets and just safety in boating. Beyond that, then we would investigate accidents that occur on the lake and then try to provide any type of aid that needs to happen while we're out there. We are the first responders. We're on the lake. You know, it's hard to get an ambulance to the middle of the lake if there's some type of a medical emergency. So we do our best to help people and then get them transported to a higher level of care from there.
And Sheriff Pooley, before we move on to other topics, anything else related to boating safety or waterways you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I would just like to say that when you're on a boat, it's much like being in a car. You know, watch your speed, keep your speeds down, stay focused on others around you. Obviously, don't consume alcohol and wear your life vest like you would a seatbelt. You know, it's so important. Again, we've never seen anybody drowned with a life vest on.
Also like to ask if for people heading up to the high country, search and rescue is busy this time of year. You know, can you explain a little bit about the search and rescue team and what it all does?
Sure. So our search and rescue team is composed mostly of 35 volunteers who these folks come from our community. They have jobs, they're business owners. They're a wonderful group of people who, when someone's in need, they drop everything they do and they come to their aid. It's supplemented by five active sheriff's office members that help coordinate all the programs, the trainings, and things like that. You know, our folks in the search and rescue team, they're trained in Nordic, swift water, rope rescues, off-road vehicle, mounted unit, air operations, mapping, all these things. They bring with them such a skill set that I think we have one of the finest search and rescue teams in the entire state.
How is search and rescue funded? Is it the same as the general operating budget of the sheriff's office?
A small portion of their budget or their funding comes out of our general fund budget. It comes out of the sheriff's office budget. It's also through donations. We have a number of people who have been rescued that donate to our search and rescue team, and we are doing the Annie Oakley event this September 25th. It's a dinner. It's a self-defense type of a class. We'll have search and rescue folks there demonstrating some of their abilities as well. It's a fun afternoon, and it's a great way for us to raise money. So I'd encourage people to come down and get a ticket and come visit us. You can get tickets at the sheriff's office and any number of other places that throughout the community.
Has it been a busy season so far for search and rescue?
It has been a very busy season. So Jim ran the statistics earlier in this. Since the beginning of the year to now, at this time last year, we had 25 incidences. This year, we've had 51. So we're over double, and we've had a very busy season so far this year.
Does the team do a lot of coordination with other outside law enforcement agencies?
They do. So let's say for air operations, we'll use Cal Fire. We use CHP for the air operations. There's an entire mutual aid system throughout the state where we can call on others to come help us, or they can call on our search and rescue teams to go help them. That is a normal occurrence throughout the year. Any major disasters, our teams typically will go out and do search and rescue missions for those other agencies.
And Sergeant Oliver, are you directly involved with search and rescue?
So I am transitioning into being the coordinator for the team. Yeah, so the overall coordinator.
So have there been any recent incidents that you can speak about?
So in the search and rescue realm, there is a variety of incidents that occur. I've been involved with the team since kind of the end of last year, and again, kind of learning and transitioning. So an example of the variety of things that we have is that I might be able to handle something by a simple phone call just to confirm information and to reassure whoever's calling that the person's fine. Like, you might be able to get contact with them in the wilderness through these different satellite systems that are available just to ensure that they're all right. It may take care of itself. So a specific example is earlier this week, a mother called in about her son hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. The spot beacon went off, which is a satellite SOS kind of a signal. And I was able to, through a bunch of phone calls, figure out that he was at Kennedy Meadows, and that that is an area where they come off the Pacific Crest Trail to get resupplies, and there's a campground there where they can stay, and was able to locate him at that point and then give that information back to his mother. So she was absolutely happy, and it was something that we were able to do very easily. On the other end of that is where we would have to deploy the members of this team to go out and help. I don't know all the details, but specifically last night, we got, again, one of the SOS beacons that went off in the Immigrant Wilderness. Through that satellite system, they were able to text message that there were 12 high school students and two counselors that were out in a storm, and that they became wet and believed that they were getting hypothermic. The deputy sheriff liaison who went out was able to coordinate an air asset, a helicopter, to go out, make contact with those folks. They were able to get the most severe patients out and get them treated. And then members of our team actually were flown back in, and they spent the night with those folks last night, and they're coordinating today to get them back out to safety. So those are kind of the ends of the spectrums. Is one, you might be able to just reassure somebody that their loved one is okay. And on the other end is it's going to take quite a bit of work and assets and people involved to make sure that the outcome is what we want, a safe and everybody's taken care of.
Leads into another important question. What is kind of the best advice you have for people who are going to be heading up to the high country, and what type of equipment do they need to make sure they take with them?
There's a big trend right now. Well, I don't know if it's right now, but again, with me learning, is that people are trying to go really, really lightweight. So taking the least amount of equipment possible. However, please be prepared for the changes in weather. So another example that I have is last weekend, it was 100 degrees here in Sonora, but on the pass, there was hail and a lightning storm, and some other folks, you know, needed our assistance, and they weren't prepared for that. So they, again, they're cold. They don't have the equipment to spend the night out into that. And again, they, you know, our folks were able to go out, locate them, and bring them back. But be prepared for the cold and wet weather, even when it's 100 degrees, you know, down here in Sonora, or even when you start out on the trail, it might be really nice. But make sure you plan for those severe events that could occur so that you're able to take care of yourself. The other thing that I would say is to invest in some of those satellite technologies. I don't particularly know the brand names on them yet, but one of them is that you're basically able to push the button and it sends an SOS signal through the satellite to the company, and it sends a GPS location of where that signal came from. And then we are able to go out to that location and check for you. So if that's the type of device that you have, please don't activate it and then walk away from that location, because if you're a mile or two down the trail, we might not be able to find you as quickly as if you stay where you activated that device. The other device that's available actually has some texting capability with it. So either the liaison or possibly our dispatchers are able to talk with the company, and then you can do short text messages to find out specifically what the problem might be, whether it's a medical issue or some other type of an issue that we need to possibly be prepared for ahead of time. And those are the two different kind of things that I'm aware of right now. But having the right equipment and having a way to communicate. Also, stay with people that you're hiking with. Don't separate from them. If you do, have, you know, the walkie-talkies or something like that. I've already seen this year where there was a pair of gentlemen that went out, they separated. One was very experienced and there was no issues. The other one wasn't. And because he wasn't prepared and wasn't as comfortable with out there, he ended up activating his beacon. But then we were able to locate him. But again, now where's the other gentleman? And, you know, do we need to worry about what he's doing? So stay with your group or stay with the people that you start with, or at least have communications with them so that we can make sure that everyone comes out safely.
Pick up on this conversation in just a minute. We're talking law enforcement and safety issues during especially the summer season on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Joined in studio this weekend by Tuolumne County Sheriff Bill Pooley, as well as Sheriff's Office Sergeant James Oliver. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment coming up in just a minute.